Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
But what we're doing this semester is we're going to be doing our small group tied to our messages. And so we feel like that's probably going to be one of those things that will help us moving forward to all grow together. I think sometimes whenever you have a church family like this, one of the things that can happen is you got some people growing at one speed and some people growing at another speed. But what we want to do is kind of help all of us grow at the same speed, if at all possible. And so what we're doing is we're tying everything together. And so we've got this book called 10 Steps Towards Christ. And if you would like a copy of the book, please let us know. We've got some extra copies left over. We'll be glad to give you one until we run out. And even then, we might can order some more. But we've got the book if you want to follow along. But all of our small group leaders are using that same book to be able to teach. And it's going to follow along with the messages that we're preaching. So today, the first step towards Christ is called born again. Now, the phrase born again, how many of y'all have ever heard the phrase born again? You must be born again. Y'all have heard that? A lot of times, even if you've not grown up in church, sorry, this very scary plant is my illustration for later. But for now, it's kind of getting in my way. And I'm afraid it's going to attack me. But even if you haven't grown up in church, you've heard the phrase born again. It's kind of one of those phrases that gets used even in the secular sense. But the idea of being born again is something that a lot of pastors that we've kind of moved away from because it just sounds weird. Like at the end of the day, it just sounds weird. There are a lot of things in the Bible that just sound weird, right? Being born again, being under the blood. You know, if someone came into a church and they heard someone talking about being under the blood and they had never been in church before, they would immediately walk out the back door thinking, these guys are about to coat me in blood. I'm going to look like Carrie from the Stephen King movie. You know what I mean? Like that's immediately what we think of. But there's a lot of terms and phrases that because they're weird, we don't use them anymore. But at the end of the day, they carry some weight in the kingdom of God. And it's better for us to understand what they mean because it might be something that's life-changing and something we need, right? So the term born again is actually used by Christ. And so if Jesus uses the term, I think it's something we ought to pay attention to. And it's found in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So this whole passage, it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it to you today, or you can read along with me. It should be on the screen behind me. But it says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak to Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Pause for a second. We'll go to verse 9 in a second. Let me just say this right off the bat. Nicodemus, the Bible says, is a very smart man. Jesus even calls him a teacher of the people. In other words, he is some sort of authority, some kind of spiritual authority among the Jewish people. It says that he's a teacher. It says that he's a Pharisee. So he's got rank. He is very, very smart and connected. And even he doesn't understand everything about what Jesus is saying. So that makes the rest of us feel really, really good. Me, not super smart, makes me feel great to know that I don't have to understand everything to believe what Jesus is talking about, right? And so Jesus says, look, you don't understand how the wind works, much less how the Spirit works. So don't worry about it. Just listen to what I've got to say. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you're a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses is lifted up, the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. This is how God showed his love for the world. He gave his only, his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Today, what we want to do is we want to understand and unpack this term, being born again. Because Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot see or enter or be a part of the kingdom of God. Every one of us wants to be a part of the kingdom of God. But we've got to be born again. And we've got to understand, what does that mean? In a lot of people's terms, being born again just means I came down to the front and I shook the preacher's hand. I joined the church. I came to church. My mama went to church. Like, we've got a lot of different ideas of what it means to be born again. But Jesus explains it to us, and we're going to go through it today. Here's the thing that was interesting, though, that I see in this that correlates with us, is that the Jews of that time thought that they were saved because of Abraham. So in their past, they came from Abraham, and they assumed that because they came from Abraham, that they were automatically put into God's kingdom, no matter what their life was like, no matter what their belief was like. But because they were Jewish, they automatically had a key to the kingdom. You know, it's important to have the right key. Have you ever tried to go in a door and you didn't have the key to it? Have you ever been super frustrated by that? I have. I've had plenty of times I've gone to someone's house and they give me a key to their house and they gave me the wrong key, and I'm just standing outside in the sun. And then I'm mad, and then I'm in the flesh, and then I'm not saved anymore because I start saying things I shouldn't say and doing things I shouldn't do. It's important to have the right key. I was at a bachelor party one time for one of my buddies, and so our whole thing, we were out that night and having fun and doing so. I don't even know what we're doing. It's been so long ago now, but we're out, and we decided that we were going to get a hotel room. And all these dudes were just going to stay in the hotel room because we had to get up for the wedding the next day. And none of us lived in the town that we were in. And so we go to the hotel, and they give us a key to the room. And so we go to the room number that we get to, and we take the key and we stick the key in the door, and we try to open the door. And whenever we did, it didn't open. It was stuck. So we closed the door and stuck the key in there again, and it turned green, and we opened the door, and it didn't open, and it was stuck. So we closed the door again, and at this point, we're starting to get frustrated. It's very late at night. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, granted, you know me, like, we weren't drinking or anything. This is me and my friends totally sober, and this is how we think. So you know there's a problem with us right off the bat. And so we can't get into this room. So my buddy, who was a football player, he decides he can get us into the room. Now, we're not thinking. Hotel rooms don't get stuck on the inside. We're not thinking that you can't lock a hotel room from the inside and still get out. So, because it's 2 in the morning and our brains have turned off. And so we still put the key in. We open the door. It gets stuck. So my buddy just goes, boom, and hits the door with his shoulder. And it was one of those latch locks on the back side. And he pops it off. And whenever he pops it off, we hear people yelling on the inside. And then it clicks. They gave us the wrong room key. There were people in there sleeping. And here me and my buddies come into their room at 2 o'clock in the morning, breaking down the door. And they were yelling at us. And we apologized, but what good is that? We just broke your door. You know, like, sorry, wrong room. And so we went back down to the desk. We said, hey, just FYI, you're about to get a phone call. It was us, you know. And so it's important to understand that you got to have the right key to get access to the kingdom. And what we do so often is we make up our own keys and expect to get us in. We think we can bully our way into the kingdom of God, and that's not the case at all. And the Jews thought that because of Abraham, they could get in. But here's the thing that Jesus said, is he turned their world upside down. The reason he used the word born again, because they thought being born the first time got them access. And Jesus said, that first birth does nothing for you. And it totally rocked Nicodemus's world. Put that into Alabama terms today, and we might think that church attendance is going to save us. Church attendance does nothing. You can get to heaven and you can pull up any kind of church attendance you want to show God, and He could care less how many times you showed up at church. We think that my mama is going to save me because my mama was a Christian and she prayed for me her whole life. And I remember her praying in her room for me. But I'm going to tell you something. Your mama's salvation is not your salvation. Mama can't save you. We think that if our spouse is saved, that that's good enough. Or if our kids are born again, that's good enough. But your kids and your spouse won't change your life. God doesn't want a relationship with you through someone else. He wants a relationship with you and me directly. Sometimes we think that good deeds are going to save us. Sometimes we think that being a member is going to save us. We got people up in Connect right now becoming members of our church. That's great for them, but that's not going to get them into heaven. That gets them into leadership in our church, but it doesn't get them into heaven. Sometimes we think that being a leader in the church, being a pastor in the church, is going to save us. Let me tell you something. I'll burn in hell like anybody else if I don't have a relationship with Christ. It doesn't matter how many people I lead to Him on the way. I've watched preachers, plenty of preachers, get up on a stage just like this one and tell everybody good things about life and good things about Jesus and preach the gospel, but behind closed doors they were living a different lifestyle. They weren't born again. They prayed a prayer. They raised a hand. They shook a preacher's hand. Whatever it is. But they weren't born again. So what does it mean to be born again? So how can we be born again? Well, number one, it's all about having a new life in the same world. A new life in the same world. Look at John 3:2. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Let me explain to you from a Jewish perspective what's happening here. The Jews had an understanding that the Messiah would come and the Messiah would change the world and make Israel the center of that world. Jesus said, it's not about changing the world, it's about changing the individual and me being the center of his world. If Jesus can become the center of our life, then our world can change. But what we want sometimes is we expect that if I'm born again, if I get saved, if I give my heart to Christ, that everything in my world will change. Everything's going to get better. Everything's going to be rosy. I'm going to be blessed. And then when it doesn't happen, we're mad at God. But God never said He came to change the world around you. He came to change you and plant you in the world, and then you make a change in the world around you. We can't get that twisted. It's all about a new life, not a new world. It's all about a new life, not a new world. I was thinking this morning of a little example. You know, you can go out in the ocean in a rowboat and get way out in the ocean in a rowboat, and a big wave will hit you and it'll flip you over and probably drown you. Or you can get way out in the ocean in an aircraft carrier and a big wave will hit you and it doesn't affect you at all. The ocean and the waves don't change. Your vehicle changes. And what we need to understand is being born again isn't about changing the ocean. It's about changing the vehicle. It's about exchanging the vehicle. The Bible, when it talks about being born again, it literally means a new life or being transformed. And it's funny today how God works. As we were down here during worship, Will came up to me and he said, "I just feel like God's saying something about change." And he starts telling me about how in the Old Testament, in Haggai, the Bible says that we try to do all this change everywhere else, but we're not changing the things that matter. But we expect different results without changing our hearts. And today I want to tell you that being born again is not about changing all the stuff around you. It's about changing your heart and changing my heart. And if we can learn to change our heart, then we'll get different results from everything else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." If I'm born again, I cannot have the old life and the new life. The old life has to be gone for the new life to begin. Galatians 6:15, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. In other words, what he's saying here, he says, it doesn't matter about your religious rituals and traditions. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Today, our goal is not to say a prayer. Our goal is not to raise a hand. Our goal is to be transformed. And I get it, salvation is eternal. I get saved one time, I don't have to get saved again. But I'm going to tell you something, transformation is an ongoing process. I believe that God can transform us today in here. And it will work its way out to out here. It's important to see that transformation is the key. You and I should never come to church and expect to walk back out those doors the same. If we encounter God, we should expect to be changed. We should never expect to go into a prayer time or listen to our Bible. Today, I say listen to our Bible, listen to me. Or read your Bible. That still happens, right? Today, even today, I was praying and I was reading my Bible. And I just said, God, today as I listened to your word, I just pray that something would change in me. Don't let me be the same. Even if it's the smallest change, I need something to change. I need something to change. I can't stay the same. The second thing that happens whenever we're saved, and look, a lot of this stuff is going to sound very redundant, but Jesus continued to repeat himself over and over until Nicodemus got it. The second thing is this: we need to be reborn, not rebranded. We need to be reborn, not rebranded. The term rebranded means that you go in and change, like a company that wants to rebrand themselves will go in and they'll change their logo, they'll change their colors, they'll change their look, right? We remember, some of us are old enough maybe to remember New Coke, which did not work. There was a rebranding that did not work. You know, they had to go back to Coca-Cola Classic, which I think is funny that even today they still will throw Classic on there like it's, you know, we haven't had to need that for a while. But rebranding means you change everything about you. And there's a company, Comcast, decided that they were getting a lot of backlash. Comcast was a cable company. And they were getting a lot of backlash about how their customer service was bad and how their rates were too high. And they were getting a lot of backlash from it. And so they decided in a few markets around the world to get started, they decided to rebrand themselves as Xfinity. So they just made up a word. Xfinity doesn't mean anything, right? We are now Xfinity. But they didn't change anything about themselves. They didn't change their prices. They didn't change their customer service. The only thing that changed was now that you're waiting online to talk to somebody about how high your bill is, they will say, thank you for waiting on Xfinity. And it just sounds a lot cooler than Comcast, right? There's no change to the infrastructure. And I was looking up, doing some research on rebranding, and they said that this is one of the like top 10 worst rebranding ideas that has come out in corporate America because they didn't change anything about themselves. They didn't change any of their infrastructure. And what we do a lot of times in life is we want to rebrand ourselves. I've been known as a liar. I got to rebrand myself. I got to change some stuff about myself. I got to change the way I look. I got to start going to church. I got to start doing this. And we start trying to rebrand ourselves to make ourselves look better. But if nothing changes on the inside, if we're not reborn, then all we're doing is putting a new label on an old product. And people notice that we're not changed. John 3:4 says, what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Now, this is not Nicodemus being smart aleck here. As a matter of fact, when you look back at the Greek of this, a lot of what he's saying, they're saying this is basically the same connotation of saying, how can you teach an old dog new tricks? So Nicodemus is saying, look, man, I've lived this way my whole life. I've understood this way my whole life. How can you now tell me that things have to change? Jesus is telling him, look, you've got to discount everything you used to be in order to have what you've never gotten, which is salvation. We want our old life to be gone when we get saved, as far as all the bad stuff. But you know what? Sometimes for Nicodemus, it was some of the good stuff. Some of the thoughts that he had that were just wrong. And so it's about transformation, about reborn, not rebranded. I was reading this thing. I thought it was really interesting. They said, what if there was a country where the only way you could be a citizen of that country is to be born into that country? What if that was the only way to be a citizen of that country? They said it wouldn't matter if you took a name that was common in that nation. It wouldn't matter if you learned to speak their language. It wouldn't matter if you observed some of their customs. It wouldn't matter if you dressed like the people of that nation. It wouldn't matter if you practiced some of their religious traditions. It wouldn't matter if your parents were born in that nation. It wouldn't matter if your children were born in that nation. It wouldn't matter how many friends you had in that nation. Only thing that would matter is if you were born into that nation. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God, God doesn't care how many friends you have that are Christian. He doesn't care how many relatives you have that are Christian. God doesn't care how many traditions you have that are Christian. Well, at Easter, we hunt Easter eggs, so, right? Like, God doesn't care about your Easter eggs. He doesn't care about your, Nintendo at Christmas time. He doesn't care about that stuff. He doesn't care what you observe. He doesn't care about how you walk. I see a lot of people sometimes and they want to rebrand themselves. They want to be a better person. And so they start dressing different and they start trying to talk a little bit different. But you let them stub their toe one good time. Right? And the real self comes out. It's important to see that it doesn't matter. You can put all the niceties on the outside. But unless there's rebirth, you can't be a part of the kingdom. You can't act like a Christian and get in. You got to get in by being born in. And we're born in by a new birth. The third thing is this, and this is where Jesus kind of gets into it a little bit more on the practical side. He says you got to be born of water and the Spirit. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, John 3:5 says, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. There's a lot of debate on what does Jesus mean by being born of water. Some people say, that might mean that he's just saying you got to be born of water like natural, like actual childbirth, But then other scholars say, no, that wouldn't make any sense. Why would Jesus say something so plain? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, duh, you got to be born. Like, otherwise you're not a human if you're not born, right? So, like, you're nothing. So it can't be that. And so what a lot of scholars believe, and most scholars believe, is that Jesus is actually referencing Ezekiel chapter 36. And Ezekiel 36, 25 and 26 is one of my favorite verses. I love this passage. It's one of those that you need in your life. So check this out. It says this, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. So what does that mean? Jesus is saying, here's how you're born again. This is what is happening when you're born again. He says, I will wash you. You have to be born of water. I will wash you in the water. You must pass through the water. Maybe that's talking about water baptism. Maybe that's talking about how the Israelites went through the Red Sea. But he's talking about being born of water. In other words, I'm going to cleanse you on the outside. There's got to be a transformation and a cleansing on the outside. A lifestyle change has to happen. A lifestyle change has to happen. That's where forgiveness, repentance, all of that outward change comes into play. Jesus wants you to have that. But what we do sometimes is we stop right there. I remember one time, I've shared this story before. It's one of my worst memories in life. One of those things that I hate the most about myself is having this memory. But I remember one time inviting some friends. I was in high school and I invited some friends to come to church with me. And as soon as they came to church with me, the pastor gave the altar call. They said, we're going to pray for people. If you need to give your heart to God, if you want to be born again, we want you to come pray. And I looked at my friends. I was like, hey, is that you guys? Do y'all need to be born again? They're like, yes, we do. And I said, awesome, let's go. So at that time, we came down to the front and we prayed at our church. And whenever we prayed, as soon as we got done praying, the first thing that I said is I looked at them. I said, now you better stop cussing and you better stop smoking. Like, that's the first thing I said. But can I tell you something? Like when a baby is born and that doctor slaps him on the behind and he starts crying and screaming, the first thing you do to that child is not grab that child and say, "You better stop crying," right? Why? A, he doesn't understand what you're talking about, right? And B, they've got to grow out of that. Like, that's just something that comes with maturity. But what I did is I looked at strictly the outward appearance, and I told these boys, you got to get the outside right now. And that's not at all how God works. See, he doesn't stop by saying you got to be washed in the water. He goes on to say there's got to be a spiritual change as well. And he says, I'm going to put a new heart in you and a new spirit. And I like the way he says it's going to be a responsive heart. It doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect heart. It means it's going to be a responsive heart. What does it mean to be responsive? Responsive means that when I tell you to do something, you do it. Have you ever had an issue with your children where you tell them to do something and they just sit there? Right? And you tell them to do something again, and what do? They sit there. And then you pick up the brick that I gave you last week that said dedicated, and you fling it at them. And you're not trying to hit them. You just want to miss just over their head. Just enough to say, hey, get up and take the trash out. Right? Nobody does that but me. And Shay raised her hand. Here's the thing. I tell my kids this all the time. I'll say, son, Gabriel knows this, son, this is the third time Dad has told you to get up and take the trash out. Mm-hmm. Normally, I'll say this is the second time. If I get to a third time, you know, you're not going to be able to walk outside to take the trash out. You're going to be rolling the trash outside. I can't stand it. As a dad, I can't stand to have to tell my children multiple times to do the same thing. Here's what God says. God says, I'm going to take out your stubborn heart that always wants to do things your way, and I'm going to replace it with a soft, pliable, responsive heart. That means that anytime I tell you to do something, you're going to do it. So the other day, where I was going somewhere, and I knew the people that were going to be around me, and I knew that there were going to be things that they were going to do that was going to get on my nerves. I knew it. Like, you know those folks. Like, you know right off the bat, when I get to this place, these people are going to make me mad. And so before I got there, I prayed. I said, God, you know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. And I'm going to get mad, and then I'm going to get in the flesh, and I'm going to be thinking that I'm going to start talking, and I'm going to be very frustrated and aggravated, and I'm not going to be a good Christian. And so I need you right now, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart whenever you see me. When you see the temperature rising, I need you to tell me to not be stupid. And that's how I prayed. And so I got there. And sure enough, they started talking. And sure enough, I wanted to respond. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Just shut your mouth. Don't be stupid. Now, the first part might have been God. The second part might have been me. I don't know. Maybe it was reverse. Whatever it was, it worked. And I just kept my mouth shut, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to just keep my mouth shut. And I got home, and everything was good, and I didn't have to repent. It felt great. I felt like I had a victory. So what happened? Is it because I wasn't born again that I wanted to have those feelings? No. I'm already born again, and God has replaced my heart. Now, there have been times I have not responded correctly to the moving of the Spirit in my heart. But this time I recognized it, and I had a responsive heart, and it helped me get through the situation. And that's what God wants for you. He wants to give you a responsive heart. He wants to give you a heart that reacts quickly whenever he starts drawing you to a place of repentance. He wants to give you a heart that reacts quickly, that whenever it sees sin or feels sin coming, that it turns away from it. That's what being born again is all about. It's not just a change on the outside. That's good and necessary. It's a change on the inside. And here's what's so cool about God. When he changes the inside, it works its way to the outside. It works its way through to the outside. One time I had a cut on my leg, and I had read where you should put some, like, Vaseline or whatever on that cut to help the scar and help the scab and all that stuff. And I did that. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't cover it with anything, and that was stupid. And so what happened was, is I put on my pants and I went about and I started noticing that there was some spot coming through my pants. It had worked its way through the different layers of clothing that I had, and now I had a Vaseline spot on my pants. What happened? Something on the inside worked its way up into the outside. And the way God works in us is He starts on the inside with that new heart, and He begins to work on the outside, all the way up to the outside, until our outward man is changed. Our speech patterns change. Our eating patterns change. The things we watch on TV change. I'm going to tell you, there's been plenty of times in my life where I've been tempted and I've been tried. There's been plenty of times in my life when I have messed up royally. But there are also many victories in my life where I know the Spirit of God was working inside of me, transforming me and changing me so that I did not have to do the things that I always thought I had to do. So, very quickly, how do we become born again? Now that we know what it is, how do we get there? So simple. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, we got to believe, confess, and repent. It's so simple. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice it doesn't say you earn it. It doesn't say you work it up. It doesn't say that there's any kind of special magic thing. It doesn't say anything about coming to an altar. It doesn't even say anything about praying, to be honest with you. That's something we do, but it doesn't even say that in this verse. It just simply says that you've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So what does that mean? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's an outward sign. It's something I speak into existence. I say He is my Lord. What does it mean to be my Lord? It means to be my boss. It means to be my king. It means that I am submitting my life to Him. And so whenever we say that, we submit all that we have to Him. That's a hard part for a lot of people. A lot of people can believe in Jesus, but they don't want to submit their life to Him. If you want to be born again, you've got to believe and submit. And submit. It's a two-part thing, and it's all by faith. I like how he says you got to believe. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. Look, some people tell me I expect to have this like warm, fuzzy feeling. Look, that happens sometimes, but not to everybody. Not to everybody. You don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling all the time. It's a faith thing. I've got to just believe it. I believe that He died. I believe He rose again. I believe He's a sacrifice for my sins. I confess today that He is my Lord. He is the one that's in charge of my life. I put Him in that place. And then I repent. I change. I don't want to stay the same. My life doesn't, I don't want to be the same. The second thing we got to do is we got to learn to live the new life. We got to learn to live the new life. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism? We joined Him in His death. For we died and were buried with Christ in baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Now we also may live new life." Being born again is a lifestyle, not a one-time event. It's a choice that we make. It's a lifestyle that we live. When I'm born again, it's something that I've got to live out. I'm really proud and a little bit jealous and a little bit upset at one of my friends here in the church. So I started going to this CrossFit gym and I was feeling really good about myself. And then Tim Carter decides he wants to go to CrossFit too. And I'm cool with Tim Carter going to CrossFit because I've run races with Tim and I've beaten Tim in races. And I feel like, hey, I know I'm a lot older than Tim, but I'm in better shape than Tim. And I don't care if he goes to CrossFit. He can go to CrossFit. And so Tim goes to CrossFit, and we start doing CrossFit workouts. And the cool thing about CrossFit is they show you on the internet for all the world to see what your score was. And I remember I was just beating Tim every single week. I've never confessed this to Tim, so this is my confession time right now. I got to get my sin off of him. And so I was beating Tim every single thing, and that was great. And then there was times when Tim was like, "Hey man, you want to do like a competition?" And I'm like, "I don't know if I should do a competition with Tim because he, you know, he's like way not as strong as I am or not as fast as I am." And then all of a sudden one day, I looked at Tim Carter. I said, "Hold up now, something is different about Tim Carter. He had lost a bunch of weight. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, are those muscles I see? And then I started checking the board on the internet. And I noticed where I used to be up here and Tim used to be down here, it was getting closer and closer. And then it was like this. And then I just got mad. And then Tim was like, you want to do a competition? No. I don't even want to look at you. Sit on the back row, I hope. What happened? Tim embraced the new lifestyle. He decided he wasn't just going to join a gym. He was going to change his life. There's a difference in joining a church and being born again. Tim had to embrace a whole new lifestyle. He had to embrace a whole new eating pattern. He had to embrace a whole new work ethic. He had to learn to go to the gym more than just one time a day. He had to learn to go and stay and be around a different group of people. And sometimes we want to be born again, but we want to keep all of our same friends. We want to keep all of our same habits. We want to keep all of our same stuff. But God says it's got to be different. There's got to be transformation. There's got to be this embrace of a new lifestyle. You got to live it out. You can't just think about it. You can't just be about it. You got to be in the middle of it. Tim didn't just join CrossFit. He became a CrossFitter. You don't just join a church. You become a Christian. You're born again. Everything should change. Luke chapter 9 verse 62 says, but Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Look, I've seen butterflies all over the world, right? You see these butterflies, they're beautiful. I've never seen a butterfly say, I really wish I was a caterpillar again. I know I've been transformed. I know I'm a more beautiful creature now, but I sure do wish I could go back to just being, just sitting on a leaf, just chewing away and being slow and ugly. I've never seen a butterfly say that. Never heard a butterfly say anything, to be honest with you. Butterflies have to work more. They got to fly around. They got a job to do. All a caterpillar has to do is sit around and eat and be lazy. Butterflies have to work, but butterflies never go back to being caterpillars. Their whole life is changed. As a matter of fact, even their physical appearance is changed. They can't eat leaves the way that a caterpillar can. Everything changes for a butterfly. Today, there's some of us that we got transformed at one point in our life, but we started looking back at that old caterpillar lifestyle and we said, you know, I sure do wish I could go back to just sitting on a leaf and do nothing. And that's not what God's called you to. He's called you to new life. He's called you to be born again. All right, I promise I'm going to shut up. Final thought. Finalist thought. They tell me all the time at church, we have these orders of service. And so they say, you know, Pastor, you got to give us a final thought so that we know when to turn the lights down and when to bring the band up and let them start playing. And so I've learned that I don't give them my final thought. I give them a thought before my final thought. It gives me more time to talk. So you see this crazy looking plant. I almost don't want to touch it. No, it's safe. Anna brought me this alien. I mean, that looks deadly, but those are leaves. And last night I was scrambling. I needed a plant. And so I asked Anna, and she said, I've got dead plants, and I've got this thing. And I said, if I had to choose between dead and this, I'll take this. But it's sure not pretty. Although it's kind of growing on me now. I kind of like it. Here's the cool thing about plants. Okay, so how does a plant start? Science lesson. Seed, yes. Some of you are a little bit hesitating. You're like, seed. Plant starts as a seed. It's not a trick question. They all start that way. So a plant starts as a seed. Here's the cool thing about a seed. A seed has to do what? It has to be buried and die and be transformed, and then new life appears out of the ground. Buried, died, transformed, new life. All the things we're talking about today. Some of you think that the world is being piled on top of you. Maybe you're just being buried so that part of you can die, so that you can be reborn with new life. But here's the cool thing about a seed. This plant will never fulfill its purpose in life until it does something, until it reproduces more seeds. God created plants and He called them seed bearing. Every plant is never meant to be pretty or ugly like this one. Plants aren't meant to look good. They're meant to reproduce seeds. And they never fulfill their purpose until they do. Here's what we do sometimes. Is we come in and we like to say that we're born again. We like to give our heart to God. And we like to do the confession. And we like to believe. But there's another part of life that's called reproduce. And you know what God wants you to do today? He wants you to tell somebody your story. There's some of you, you're going to be born again this morning. Maybe for the very first time. Maybe some of you, you're going to get born again. Maybe you've been in church your whole life and you love the Lord, but you never really understood what it meant to be born again. And you know, you've been kind of living your own life and there's never been any kind of transformation. It's just always been about you. And today you're going to start that transformation process. But you know what you need to do? You need to go tell somebody your story. Reproduce the seed. Allow somebody else to have the opportunity. Don't tell anybody my story. They could care less. They don't know me. You tell them your story because your story matters. Let me tell you my story real quick. I remember when I was probably 9, 10 years old. And you wouldn't think that a 9 or 10 year old would struggle with sin. But at 9 or 10 years old, I had a very good understanding of what sin was. I had a very good understanding of some things in my life. And I've shared this before. It's not uncommon knowledge. But whenever I was 6 years old, I was exposed to, at 5 years old, I was exposed to pornography. It wasn't anything that my parents did. It was total accident, but I was exposed to it. And it became an issue in my life at that time, even at a young age. And I don't know about you, but I would hate for my kids to have their innocence taken away from them at that young of an age. So we do everything we can in our house to protect my kids from that same kind of issue. But the point is, I understood what sin was like. I understood what it felt like to feel guilty and dirty and bad. And I remember at 10 years old, I had a dream one night. And my wife gets mad at me for my dreams because they're crazy and weird. And I like to tell her, and she hates being told dreams that are weird. But this dream was unlike any other dream I'd had. I knew that this was a God dream. I didn't understand what it meant to be prophetic at that time, but I knew that this was something from God, and it was a prophetic dream about my life. And it scared me. It really did. It scared me, and I saw a glimpse of something, and I just thought, this is not what I need to have in my life. So I immediately got up, and I ran to my parents' bedroom, and I got down on the side of the bed. I said, Dad, I just had this dream, and I told him the dream, and I said, look, this is what I feel like I'm supposed to do. I need to really get saved. I need to pray a prayer or do something. I said, I need something to change in my life. And my dad prayed with me that night and then said, get in the bed. You know, that was my dad's response to anything. I was 18 years old one time. I went to my parents' room. I said, I think I heard something outside. My dad said, get in the bed. I was like, I'm 18. No, thank you. Someone has to get in the bed. I got in the bed. I told this story a few years ago, and my parents just happened to be in the room. My parents said they didn't even remember this. So my dad led me to the Lord in his sleep. That's how you know you got a good Christian father right there. When they can lead you to the Lord, they don't even know what happened. But I remember getting up the next day. Now look, my life was not that much different, right? Like at 10 years old, how much can you really change? But there was something on the inside that I knew was different about me. There was a purpose. There was a drive. There was a redirection. There was some kind of transformation that I began to feel in my life. Does it mean that I didn't struggle with sin or rebellion later on? No, it doesn't mean that. I still had my struggles. I mean, look, when you're growing up and you hit 13, 14, 15 years old, your brain goes crazy. I know I live with one. And you just go nuts, right? And you get to those teenager years and you're crazy. But look, God was doing something in my life. He planted a seed of change in my heart at 10 years old. A rebirth happened at 10 years old. I entered a new kingdom at 10 years old. And once I was in that kingdom, and I had a different kind of heart, even as I got older, I could feel the Spirit speaking in my heart, hey, this isn't right, don't do that. This isn't right, don't do that. And I learned over time how to respond to that. There's some of you today, you need that moment. You need that moment with God today. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? You need that moment of rebirth. I'm going to offer it to you right now, but you know, to be totally honest and fair, it can be, you can have this moment anywhere you are, because it's all about this. It's all about what's happening in here. But why don't we all just bow our heads and close our eyes this morning? I've got some prayer team people that are going to come up. If you need prayer today, they're going to be here to pray with you. And here's what I want you to do. With everybody's eyes closed, there's nothing spiritual about this, but I just need you to have your moment with God right now. So with your eyes closed, I want you just to inspect your own heart. The Bible says that David prayed. He said, search me, O God. Find anything in me that's not right. So let's pray that. God, on your own, God, search us today. Search my heart right now. Is there anything in me that's not right? God, is it possible that I've been going to church? Is it possible that I've been dressing the right way and talking the right way, but I've never made you Lord of my life? Is it possible that I've tried to get into the kingdom some other way by my good deeds or my good thoughts, but I've never truly been born again? Is it possible? Is it possible that there's a part of my life I've never surrendered to you? Sure, I've washed, the outward appearance looks good, but the heart is still stubborn and stony. I'm going to pray for you today, and I'm going to pray for all of us. And whenever I do, once we get done praying, if you get born again, if you give your heart to Jesus Christ, let me tell you a cool thing that would do. Is I would take an opportunity to come down to the front and let one of these people be the first people I told. And let them pray with you this morning. But maybe you need prayer for something totally different. These guys are down here for that too. But if you come down today, if you give your heart to God, let these guys know. Let them pray with you. If you need to give your heart to God today, we're all going to pray this together. I want you to say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and you rose again. I believe you're the sacrifice for all of my sins. I believe that you are the only way to heaven. And today, I confess that I have been a sinner, but you forgive me. And you wash me. And you give me a new heart. Let your Spirit live inside of me. Today, I make you my Lord and my Savior. You are the master of this ship, and I will obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.